morning. United States versus Samuel Jones, 03-36-86. Mr. Alvarado.
May it please the court, counsel, Mr. Alvarado, over here. Look down under that desk. You'll see a button. You see the button on your. Now, if you push down, don't push it. Stop it. Now push it again up the up. See? As far as it goes, Your Honor. As far as it goes. That's it. My golly, there's something wrong with the damn machine.
Yeah, too much of it.
Either that, or you got to shrink.
I'll try to speak up.
See, Bush could have used a lectern like this in
yeah.
the first debate.
Cover his whole body.
Yeah.
Your Honors, I think Judge Mims said it best when he said that in his 35 years of lawyering, he had never seen a case like this, and he felt that the Seventh Circuit should consider this issue. What happened here was that there were three search warrants for my client's person and his residence issued within a 12-day period, and the officer chose not to execute the first two, got all three warrants from different judges, and then the third warrant that he executed, he didn't bother to tell the judge that he had those two unexecuted warrants. Now, the inference
What difference does that make? What difference does that make? Why have you got five?
Okay, well, the inference that we draw from that is that the officer knew that he didn't have probable cause to find any drugs for at least 8 days. Prior in that 12-day period before he actually executed the warrant. And he should have told the judge that at the third search warrant
That he didn't serve it because he didn't believe he had enough evidence to establish probable cause.
He should have told
the judge that.
He should have told the judge, Your Honor, I didn't
you
think...
You believe in Santa Claus.
Well, I think I believe in
the officer is going to tell this.
Well, I believe in the Fourth Amendment, and I believe that the officer should have... The officer should have told that judge so the judge could have made the decision, a good decision, whether there was probable cause for the issuance
of
that third warrant.
You said he should tell him that he didn't have probable cause.
That he didn't have probable cause to believe the drugs were there for 8 days in that 12-day period.
Well, no, there's a number of reasons why when you get a search warrant, you don't execute it right away. Sometimes you sit on it for a few days, you're waiting to get right number of people in the house or what have you, or get everything together, and it doesn't work out, so you go get another warrant. Now, I think you'd have a better case if the first two judges would have turned him down on the same evidence, and the third time he came in, he kept that under his hat.
Well,
that's not what happened here.
No, that isn't what happened, but I think that none of those three judges really had a good opportunity to make their own determinations. They got a boilerplate warrant that recited just bare-bones allegations.
Because the witness wasn't there, is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry?
Because the witness wasn't there.
The informant was not present before the judges on all three occasions. The officer signed the affidavit. So those judges basically had bare-bones conclusions as to what probable cause existed for the issuance of the warrants.
So then conversely, all three judges thought there was probable cause.
That's right. And the government tried to argue that each of those two warrant applications bolstered the third warrant application, which Judge Mim rightly said didn't make logical sense, that he was not going to consider the fact that two previous judges had established probable cause to bolster that third warrant. And that makes good sense. But what's really perplexing about this whole situation is that the prosecutor fought like the dickens to prevent a Franks hearing in this case. They then proffered what the officer would have said if there was a hearing, and then they actually put the officer on at the sentencing hearing to establish what he would say, which directly contradicted what the third search warrant recited in the affidavit. For instance, in terms of the reliability of the informant, it was a basic bare-bones conclusory statement We made two controlled purchases using this informant in two different locations in the city of Peoria. That established his reliability. We know from the testimony at the sentencing hearing from the officer, if you can believe him, that three controlled buys were made using that informant at my client's house during the course of those three warrant applications, and that on 9 or 10 other occasions, that same informant made controlled purchases. Therefore, at least 12 controlled buys were made using this informant, but the warrant application only said he made two. It didn't say he made at least two. It just said he made two. Now, did he lie in front of the judge when he got the third warrant, or did he lie in front of Judge Mims?
Well, usually when you lie, it's to establish more probable cause. It seems to me if they made 10 controlled buys and only told the judge they made two, that's a lot different than making two and telling the judge you made 10.
And that's the perplexing thing. Why didn't the prosecution just say that to the judge, that they had all these controlled purchases? It wasn't just to obscure the identity of the informant, because how does that obscure his identity? The fact that he made 12 controlled buys as opposed to two? That doesn't make any sense.
Maybe you didn't tell him until afterwards.
Didn't tell the
about the whole 10. Told him about two, and then later on, when they're talking to him again, he adds eight more, so he testifies to him.
Maybe he did, but that's what we needed to hear.
Yeah, but how would that help you?
Well, that's the point. Either the officer is lying when he testified at the sentencing hearing about that informant's credibility, or he was lazy. Maybe he just took his first search warrant and got his bottle of white out, whited out the judge's name, whited out the date that his informant...
Now, do you have proof of that?
No.
Then what do you make accusations of?
Because there are only several explanations that could possibly account for his behavior. He's either telling the truth about it, in which case it makes no sense for him not to get on the stand and say that. It makes no sense for the government to fight to keep that hearing from taking place.
Is there any case that you've ever seen that says that an officer must recite everyone?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
Were all these controlled buys made under the direction of the same officer?
Yes.
We know that?
Yes. He said so at the sentencing hearing, that he used that informant to make those three buys at my client's house and then 9 or 10 others.
Were they made after or before?
The three buys were made during the course of those three warrants. The 9 or 10 others, I'm not sure if they were either before or after.
Well, if they were made after, they couldn't have been in an affidavit as part of a search warrant number three. Right?
That's true. But as I was inquiring, I asked the officer at the sentencing hearing, why didn't you include that these were controlled buys instead of just reciting in the affidavit that the informant saw drugs? The government objected, and Judge Mims sustained it at the sentencing hearing. And I was treading lightly at the sentencing hearing because the government had threatened to argue that I should not receive acceptance of responsibility and that we should receive an obstruction of justice for even challenging this. Challenging something that we would have had a right to challenge at a Frank's hearing. And we were just doing what we could to get the information. So what we're asking for, Your Honors, is an opportunity to get the informant on the stand, ask him what happened, and compare it to what the officer said at the sentencing hearing happened, have him testify again, and determine why it was that this officer only presented bare bones conclusions to the judges without giving the judge himself an opportunity to make a good probable cause determination. Thank you.
Mr. Chambers.
Wrong direction.
Yeah.
There.
Gee, just stopped it. That's it.
May it please the court. Tate Chambers for the United States. Mr. Alvarado. I think I will agree with one thing Mr. Alvarado said. Judge Mim did say it best. He said it best when he wrote that, "I do not believe that the omission has a material impact on whether or not the application as presented was adequate. And I don't believe that there is anything about the admitted information which would cause an issuing judge, or if I had been the issuing judge, to not issue the new warrant. That's what Judge Mims said. And as Judge Mims said, there are several other reasons why these other two warrants weren't mentioned in this warrant. Other reasons such as manpower reasons, intelligence reasons. Maybe they were looking for the large shipment to come in. Who knows? But I will have to admit to the court that I heard that for the first time this morning that the prosecutor below, Mr. Murphy, threatened counsel, and that's the reason the counsel didn't aggressively pursue these things. I don't think that's in the record anywhere, and I would ask this court not to consider that. The information was adequate. The defendant had the burden of showing that the officer either intentionally lied or with reckless disregard made the omission with the purpose of convincing the court that there was probable cause when there really wasn't, and that it had to be material. There's no evidence here. There's speculation. Speculation that they're lies. I don't even accept that, Your Honors. There's nothing in this record that shows that those statements, that there were two prior buys, didn't happen. They didn't have to happen with this defendant. They may have happened with another defendant, and that would be a wise move on a controlling officer. If he's trying to protect the identity of his defendant, he wouldn't put in the buys that he had made from this defendant, protect his informant. He would put in the buys, other controlling buys he had made, other corroborating buys to establish the credibility. That's a wise move on the officer's part. There is no indication that the officer lied at any time, and we would ask this court to affirm.
Thank you. Mr. Alvarado, any more?
Your Honor, just very briefly, when I said that we were threatened, I didn't mean that in the ominous sense, but I meant it in the sense that Mr. Murphy put us on notice that if we challenged the credibility of the witness, we could possibly lose acceptance of responsibility and possible obstruction of justice. And in fact, that's what he argued for, and Judge Mim denied that. Mr. Chambers and Mr. Murphy and I see each other every day, and we get along fine. It's not a question of being threatened in that sense. The last thing I just want to say is that Your Honors, I think my brief speaks for itself. I just wanted to make that final point. If there are no other questions, thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for accepting the appointment.
Thank you.